Congregation, the scripture reading this afternoon is from Matthew chapter 1. We read the verses 18 through 25. And this section is also the text for the sermon this afternoon. Matthew 1, starting to read at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So far the reading of God's holy word and the words of our text. Beloved congregation, it is so true from God's word that the Lord can do mighty deeds by people who are weak in themselves. If we think of the apostles, Peter, John, Andrew, James, they were but simple, uneducated men, and yet they became apostles. The Lord filled them with such insight that they could proclaim God's word in faraway countries. And if you think of Mary, a peasant girl from Nazareth, and this morning we saw how she was willing to be the handmaid of the Lord, that the Lord could use her as he wishes, to the extension of his kingdom. And so maybe in your life you think, I'm just weak, and I'm unable, I'm unqualified. We can have so many doubts about ourselves. But you know, we may look to him. Through him, weak people have done mighty deeds, because the Lord invigorated them, and the Lord gave them strength and grace. Because with the Lord, you can do far more than you ever expect or think. Because he is a powerful God. And that's very practical in things of life. Things you may be going through. Hardships or suffering or disappointment. The Lord can do far more in your life than you now can ever imagine. And that's how it was with Mary. But what about Joseph? How did things go with him? Well, the Lord was also going to work mighty deeds through Joseph. And that's what we consider now as we look at the coming of the Lord Jesus into our world, but then from a different angle, but then from the side of Joseph. And so we consider then three things: the problem for Joseph, secondly, the proclamation to Joseph, and thirdly, the profession of Joseph, that his witness, his testimony, the profession. So we see the problem for, the proclamation to, and the profession of Joseph. Well, this morning we heard again, and last week, how Mary received a wonderful message, but she did not understand it. No human being can understand this. But she believed that she would be the mother of the long-promised Messiah. And indeed, that happened. She became pregnant. And after a few months, it became clear. Mary is pregnant. People could see that and knew that. But she was not yet married to Joseph. She was espoused to Joseph. And that means in the setting, in the social setting of those days, that they were given to each other. It was as strong as marriage, but they didn't live together. The husband would then go out and gather money for the dowry to give to his father-in-law, and the bride-to-be would be preparing the marriage feast. And so they were espoused. It's much stronger than with us being engaged. People can break off an engagement if there are certain reasons for that, and no one will take it ill of them. But in those days, if you would break off being a spouse, that would be considered to be breaking of marital vows. Well, Mary was pregnant, and she did not live together with Joseph. And Joseph also saw that Mary was pregnant. And the problem for Joseph was that Mary had already committed herself to Joseph. We read in Luke 1 that Mary went, after the angel had appeared to her, straight to Elizabeth in the hills of Judea. And then after 3 months, she came back. And it was then probably that Joseph realized Mary is expecting a baby. And then what did Joseph have to think? Only this, that Mary has been unfaithful to me. How else can you explain a pregnancy? She had given herself to another man, or another man had taken her. But Mary didn't say much. She could only say, yes, I am expecting a baby. What could she say? How could she ever explain this miracle? Well, Joseph saw this all, and it was shocking for him. He loved Mary. He was looking forward that Mary would be his wife. They were both poor, but they delighted in one another. But now everything seems to have changed. Their worlds actually collapsed. Mary is pregnant. Well, in their society, there were two options now for Joseph. The first option was he could go to the legal authorities and accuse Mary of being unfaithful. According to the Mosaic laws, such a woman would have to be stoned to death. But that no longer was the practice in those days. That did not happen anymore. But such a woman would be covered with shame. And people would be accusing her of being unfaithful. Her name would be terribly marked and tarnished. That was one option. Go to the legal authorities. But the other option for Joseph was to put her away privily. Because in the Mosaic laws, the Lord had allowed, because of the hardness of the hearts of men, that they could write a bill of divorcement and hand that to their wife, and they would be divorced. And then, seeing that Mary was pregnant, Joseph would more or less receive the blame that she was pregnant. And people would think that he was the father of this child, and that he would just did not want to live up to these responsibilities. And then Joseph would take the shame upon himself. And he would then have to go to another part of Israel and there start over again with his life. And then he would more or less take the blame of what had happened. And this would involve no shame for Mary. And this is what Joseph then decided to do. In no way did he want to compromise his wife Mary, and so Joseph, being a just man, decided to his great sorrow that this is the way that matters should be. Imagine this terrible problem for Joseph. Imagine the sleepless nights he must have had and the initial great shock he had that his future wife was expecting. How could Mary have ever explained this to Joseph? She didn't understand it herself. A child conceived by the Holy Spirit coming from God in her womb while she was a virgin, and she was to give birth to the Son of God. But for Joseph, the only solution was to put Mary away. This would have broken his heart, but really he saw no other option. He could not tolerate that his wife would have a relationship with another man. And in the midst of all these problems, Joseph did not act rashly. He was patient. He acted carefully. He prayed about this, undoubtedly. In Proverbs 3, verse 6, this text was also known probably to Joseph. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's what Joseph did. He was a righteous man, and the Lord was going to truly direct his paths. So Joseph desired to walk in the ways of the Lord, and he took the breaking of a marital vow very seriously. And Joseph was planning to solve this matter in this way. That was his problem. But then we also see the proclamation. What a glorious proclamation it was to Joseph. He would have found it nearly impossible to make the transition from a decision to the actual deed. And while he is mulling over these matters in his mind, he falls asleep. And boys and girls, you know what happened. He received a dream, a very special dream. Now, you and I can also dream about all kinds of things. But in the days of the Old Testament, and in the days also of Joseph, in those days the Lord would reveal his will by means of dreams. It was a very clear dream. Joseph could remember it completely. It was clear as if it was happened in daytime. And then this angel appeared to Joseph. Joseph has fallen asleep, and now he receives a dream. And this angel appears to Joseph, addresses him in a way that probably Joseph had never before been addressed. He was referred to as, "Thou son of David." Joseph, thou son of David. Well, people would normally not have called Joseph like that, because Joseph was indeed of the lineage of David. David was one of his far forefathers, one of his ancestors. And Joseph undoubtedly knew that. The Jews kept meticulous track of their genealogies. But his forefathers had no bearing upon him now. Joseph had become poor. But now this angel makes a specific reference to this, thou son of David, David. And what had the Lord promised to David? What was a promise that still had to be fulfilled, that David would have a son who would be king forever? And when the angel speaks to Joseph in this way, there's something very important to be told him, something very special. The promise given to David was now going to be fulfilled. And it was fulfilled in his wife, Mary. because the angel explains to Joseph, Mary is indeed his wife, and Mary has not been unfaithful to him. And so Joseph receives the explanation that what happened to Mary is of the Holy Spirit, not of any man. How could Mary have ever explained this to Joseph? Did we need a divine revelation? And that's what Joseph received. What Mary had in her womb was of God himself. For then we read in verse 20, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And this was a great word of deliverance for Joseph. It was for him a difference between day and night. It was as if the sun had started to shine in his life. Now he realized his dear wife had not been unfaithful to him. On the contrary, she had been most faithful to the Lord and also to Joseph. This was a most startling revelation, something totally new to Joseph. Never before had this happened, that a virgin would give birth to a child. It was also very comforting for Joseph. How he must have been filled with compassion for his wife and care and more love and joy because of his wife. He understood now that God had given him a task, a very important task, to protect Mary and the child in her womb, and that he would take care of her and defend her honor against all malicious slander. And then the angel gives a further explanation of this glorious proclamation in the verses 21 through 23. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So Mary would receive a child, and Moses had to give that child the name Jesus. And then Joseph realized that this was the fulfillment of the Old Testament, that now God would come down and be with man. There are two names given here. First name is Jesus. That means Savior, that the Lord Jesus would come and not only make salvation possible, but he would actually save. He works in people's hearts and he opens their eyes and he changes them and renews them by his Spirit. And so the Lord Jesus would wash their sins away. He delivers from the guilt of sin. He washes them in his own atoning blood. And the Lord Jesus saves them from the dominion of sin. He would earn for them the life-giving Holy Spirit, who would change their lives so that they would not be any more under the slavery of sin. And the Lord Jesus would also save his people from the presence of sin. He would sanctify them, make them dedicated to the Lord God. He would sanctify them through the same Holy Spirit. He makes them to be strangers in the earth, pilgrims in this world, people who live for the better day. Lord Jesus will also save them from the consequences of sin, because death was going to be swallowed up in victory, and it would be life eternal given to them, the best possible life, in the presence of the Lord God Himself, the Lord would renew them, their soul, their body, and make all things well. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed Savior, how precious He is. Precious for you and for me, that we would be at His feet, that we would have a living relationship with this precious Savior. He only will save His people from their sins. He is the one we need to be in communion with. He needs to control our lives. He needs to enter our heart. And we should no longer put up a wall between Him and us. But we should be filled with the desire that He would be our Savior, blessed to belong to Him. Now, that does not mean that God's children will be saved from sorrow. There will be sorrow, but He will be there to help them bear that sorrow. It's not that they are delivered from the cross. No, sometimes it's very good if His people do bear a certain cross, which first has been carefully weighed by the Lord Jesus Himself and then carefully laid upon His people so that they would be humble. It can be very fruitful for spiritual life. And it's not that they are saved from conflict, but He teaches them to maintain peace as much as it lies in them. And the Lord promises to be with them in their cross, in their difficulties and sorrow. And they will be saved from their sins. And that's the key to a blessed life. The key to a blessed and fulfilled life is that the Lord Jesus enters your heart, and that you are no longer in control of your heart, but that you say with Mary, "Behold the handmaid, behold the servant of the Lord, do as thou art willing to do." And so these people are made willing and fit to enter heaven, to be forever with the Lord in His presence. Jesus is the most precious name, blessed name for believers. The favors of kings and princes are no comparison to the favor of Jesus. In the Lord Jesus they receive what money cannot buy. They receive peace in their hearts. They receive rest for their burdened lives, blessed to lean upon this name, Jesus. And this is what Jesus Christ means. He will save His people from their sins. He is anointed to be the Savior, to be delivered from the greatest distress, to be given the greatest blessing, to be delivered from the guilt, the pollution, the power, the punishment of sin, and that they would receive joy unspeakable, full of glory, to be delivered from the misery of sin. Therefore, Jesus is ultimately precious, and to know Him is to know life. It is most blessed. That's His first name, Jesus. But this portion also speaks about a second name, and that is Emmanuel. And that's the miracle of God with us, the holy, the majestic, the eternal God became man, and He walked this earth. He lived amongst us. He lived as a human being. He was a human being. He was perfect man. God came into this world. He had a nature like we have, but sin accepted. And the Lord Jesus, perfect man, perfect God. And so this Savior knew of the hardships that men go through. He was tempted in all things, just as we are, but with him it was without sin. And so he labored in the sweat of his face. He knows what it is to have grief because loved ones pass away. He knows what it is to be weary and tired. And that's why he understands you in your grief, in your weariness, because he endured it himself. But at the same time, he is perfectly God. Therefore, he has power to lift you up and to guide you and to lead you. He is perfectly God. He has come down into your and my poverty, into our distress, and he is able to save to the uttermost. He is God with us. And therefore, when he is your God and your Savior, no one can pluck you out of his hand. If you may truly rest upon the Lord Jesus, you need not be afraid, and let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, but you may believe and rest in him. And when you are in distress, when you have certain needs, when people don't understand you, when they try to feel along but they cannot feel along, remember the Lord Jesus. He was fully man, and he feels along. He understands you. He can be touched with the feeling of your infirmities, and he can lift you up, and he can strengthen you and give you consolation and rich outpourings of his Spirit. He himself shed tears. This is God in human flesh, shedding tears because of the consequence of sin. Emmanuel, God with us, with you, with me, in our lives. These are surely tidings of great joy, of vivid realities, that he is not at a distance, far away, removed, but he is Emmanuel, God with us, with you. What a miracle. What grace. Because you know what we did. We rebelled against God. We did not ask for him to become man. We were not welcoming him. No, we all turned to our own ways, said Isaiah already. We all have, like sheep, have gone astray. And Paul would say, there's none good, no, not one. And for such people, he came and adopted our nature. He came to remove that which would have destroyed us and which would have led us into eternal, dismal horror of being forsaken of God. But he endured that all, ushering in life everlasting, mighty to save, mighty to come over in your life, because he is Emmanuel, God with us. God, who can do far above what you imagine or think. And so the Lord Jesus came to bridge the terrible gap between man and God. And he is going to be heir of all things. Every knee shall bow before him. And he is ready to give you all you stand in need of in your life. This is the proclamation that Joseph received. What blessing. What mercy. And then we see what Joseph did. He made a profession. By his deeds, he made a profession of faith. He awoke from the dream. He knew what he had to do. He knew the whole dream. And of course, he told Mary later on exactly what he had dreamed. And then Mary could tell him exactly what the angel had told her. And together they have rejoiced in God's salvation. But nobody knew that secret. Only Joseph and Mary. They couldn't explain this to anyone else. But Joseph arose and took Mary to be his wife. Now there was no doubt. He now realized what had happened to his wife Mary. He was obedient to the divine instruction. And therefore Joseph was willing to go the Lord's way in his life. Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." And Joseph was also made most willing to do this, what the Lord called him to do. And without understanding what was happening, but yet by faith, they continued on, Joseph and Mary, without asking, without gaining a full understanding. Joseph went to Mary and took her to be his wife. The marriage took place, and so he professed faith in what the angel had told him. He gave by his actions a wonderful profession of faith. And faith does not understand everything, but faith knows what the calling is of the Lord, knows what faith has to do, and faith realizes that God's word is the truth. And so faith is obedient. It's the obedience of faith. So Joseph married Mary, and they lived together in the same house. But what Joseph did not do was to consummate the marriage. He did not live as a husband and a wife lives together. He did not go into Mary, but he abstained from all the sexual relationships until Mary had given birth to her firstborn son. And obviously, Joseph had high regard for what had happened to Mary. He knew this is God's son coming into this world. And when the Lord Jesus was born there in Bethlehem, how Joseph and Mary must have watched and looked with amazement, moved by this Savior who had come into the world laid in a manger. It would seem to be so dark and so impoverished and so different than they had imagined, that he would receive the throne of his father David, that he would be king over the house of Israel forever. No, Joseph and Mary did not see anything of it. They were in abject poverty. But they knew by faith that the Lord would take care of what he had promised. And so Mary's honor was kept and spared. Joseph had been obedient to the angel. He took Mary with him to be his wife. And so Joseph is pictured for us as a man of faith. And that's how God's children live. It's not by understanding, but it's by faith. And this faith is self-denial. It's not wanting to have things as they want them to be, but it means to listen to what the Lord has to say and to obey that word. This is characteristic of faith. It is indeed trust and obey, for there's no other way. That's what faith is. And how is it in your and my life? There are many things we don't understand about heaven, about the life to come. Many things we do not understand about the love of God in giving his son. There's so many depths herein that are still covered for us. And yet faith realizes this and bows for this. And faith will deny himself. That you will say to the Lord, Lord, it's not about me. It's not about what I will receive. It's not about what will happen to me. But it's about thee in my life. That's faith. That's bowing. That's saying, Lord, take me as I am. And make me as thou dost want me to be. That's faith. That's listening. And realizing that all blessings flow from God. And that we deserve nothing of it. And you have no rights left before God. But you plead only upon his mercy. And you confess that you have sinned against God many a time. That you are unworthy of even being looked upon. And yet, you have trust in this Savior. Your life is as a living sacrifice laid down before this Lord and Savior. That is faith. It means to walk in the way of the Lord. It means to obey him, even in the day-to-day activities of our life. And sometimes life can be tedious. Sometimes we would like big things to happen, but often big things don't happen. But yet daily, in obedience to the Lord, fulfilling your task as a housewife, as a godly housewife, if you're looking unto the Lord Jesus, and what is your task? Is to take care of your family, taking care of your children, and cleaning up behind them. Doing what the Lord calls you to do in raising your children in love and devotion, and to be responsible. And at times this work seems so tedious, can seem to you to be useless. But we are called to raise our children by faith in obedience. This is what Joseph did. And he did this task. And you know what happened? How they fled to Egypt. And then he came back and lived in Nazareth. And there was Yeshua, Jesus, the Son of God. And he learned to walk. He had to learn to talk. He spoke as a Galilean. He was human. And he learned the trade of carpenter. And he helped his father in the carpenter shop. And it went on for many years. And all along Joseph must have wondered, but this is the Son of God. And I'm teaching him to work in a carpenter's shop. How can the promise ever be fulfilled? And it was nearly 30 years that the Lord Jesus labored there in Nazareth, and nothing seemed to happen. And Mary didn't understand it either. No, when the Lord Jesus was in the temple 12 years of age, and he spoke such beautiful words to the scribes and the Pharisees, Mary didn't understand what her son was doing. Child, what have you done? You make us so anxious. Because she didn't understand it. And then Lord Jesus was obedient to his mother. And so the Lord Jesus himself lived by faith. He was in obscurity for nearly 30 years. He lived in backward Nazareth. Nothing romantic about it. It was a hard life there. But he was obedient. And later on in his life, he had nothing. Not even a stone to lay his head upon. No bed, no home, nothing. And then he was called to suffer, to bear the wrath of his God upon all his people. And the disciples didn't understand it. And Mary was at the cross and the sword went through her soul. She didn't understand it. She said, everything is falling in pieces. It's all over. How could this ever be the Son of God? And yet, it was in this way that God was going to perform such a glorious work that he would take away the consequences of sin, the great Emmanuel, God, doing wondrous works that no one expected anymore, that no one understood anymore. But you see, God's plans, they never fail. He carries on in spite of the circumstances, in spite of your disappointments. His work carries on. It cannot be broken. Because he is Emmanuel, God with us. What miracle. And because he is God with us, he is also the comforter. And he comforts you in your need, in your distress. Emmanuel has come and he is with you now with his word through which he speaks to you. He is with you now with his Spirit to comfort you, to strengthen you, and to help you to carry on, and that you realize you can't live without him. That is faith. The faith that Joseph professed. The faith that we have to profess. It's the faith that belongs to all those who belong to this Savior. What blessing that tomorrow morning we may again consider how the Lord entered our misery, that he removed the cause of our misery, that is sin, that he took upon himself the guilt of his people, that he came to work out his glorious plan of salvation and to effectuate full salvation to the needy who do not understand many things in their life, but they know that he is Lord and Savior. Blessed to rest upon him. And so we hope also tomorrow morning to come together in God's house and then to consider the miracle again, the miracle of his coming into this world. Amen. Shall we pray? O Lord God, it is not easy for us to worship thee, and actually to worship thee in spirit and in truth is something we pray for, but that's something we cannot do on our own. And so we need thee, Lord, to see this unspeakable gift and to realize that thy coming is often so different than we imagine or than we anticipated, but that it is so true. It is God glorifying. And we pray thee, Lord, wilt thou come into our lives and hearts, and wilt thou bless the congregation with the outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, Emmanuel, wilt thou be with us in our homes, in our rooms, in our inner chambers, and grant that many prayers will be lifted up for thee in our lives, and that we would learn to worship thee for who thou art, and to praise thy name. My soul doth magnify the Lord. That's how Mary praised thy name. Teach us, Lord, to praise thee and to love thee and to obey thee and to follow thee, because thou only art Emmanuel, Jesus, Savior. Wilt thou go with us the rest of this day and bring us again back tomorrow as we may consider thy coming into this world. Lord, we commend unto thee also the churches in the Fraser Valley when they decided to stay open while they should have been closed at the orders of the government, and now they have some problems. There are some lawsuits. O Lord, grant that we may be able to help them and defray these costs also by the collection now at the door. Wilt thou remember those churches and give that they may prosper in thy grace and favor? Wilt thou remember each one of us and go with us? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.